Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text 65. Atma Jaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarva Dehinam Yat Swarta Kamayor Aikyam Dravyadvaitam Tad Uchite Atmajaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Yat Swarta Kamayor Aikyam Travyadvaitam Taduchate Atmajaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Yat Swarta Kamayor Aikyam Travyadvaitam Taduchate Atmajaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Yat Swarta Kamayor Aikyam Dravyadvaitam Taduchate Atmajaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Sarta Kamayor Aikyam Kavyam Vetam Taduchate Anjaya Sudadinam Vigasam Tavadeinam Nam Kamayor Akyam Yadvicham Taduchate Atmajaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Sarta Kamayor Aikyam Avyadvaitam Taduchate Atmajaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Yat Swarta Kamayor Aikyam Avyadvaitam Taduchate Jaya Sutadinam Samsarvadehinam Tam Kamayor Aikyam Tam Taduchate Atmajaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Kauta Kamayor Aikyam Vajam Saitam Taduchate Atmajaya Sutadinam Anyesham Sarvadehinam Sarta Kamayor Aikyam Javyam Devyam Charuchate. Vaishnavis. Atma Jaya Sutadina. Anyesham Sarvadena. Yatkaka Karma Yor Aikya. Dravyate Chan Taduchate. Atma Jaya Sutadina. Anyesham Sarvadena. Atma of oneself, Jaya, wife, Sutta Adina, and children, Anyesha, of one's relatives, Sarvadehina, of all other living entities, Yat, whatever. Swa-artha kamayo, of one's ultimate goal and benefit. Aikyam, oneness. Dravya advaitam, oneness of interest. Taruchite, it is called. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. When the ultimate goal and interest of one's self, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living beings is one, this is called Dravya Advaita, or oneness of interest. Please repeat. When the ultimate goal and interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living beings is one, this is called Dravya Dvaita, or oneness of interest. Purport. The actual interest of all living entities, indeed the goal of life, is to return home back to Godhead. This is the interest of one's own self, one's wife, one's children, one's disciples, and one's friends, relatives, countrymen, and all humanity. The Krishna consciousness movement can give direction for management by which everyone can partake in Krishna conscious activities and reach the ultimate goal, which is known as Swartha Gatim. This objective of everyone's interest is Vishnu, but because people do not know this, Na te vidu Swartha Gatim hi Vishnu, they are making various plans by which to fulfill so many concocted interests in life. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying to bring everyone to the highest interest. The process may be differently named, but if the aim is one, people should follow it to achieve the ultimate goal in life. Unfortunately, people are thinking of different interests, and blind leaders are misleading them. Everyone is trying to reach the goal of complete happiness materially. Because people do not know what complete happiness is, they are materially diverted towards different interests. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse and the previous two verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, we're learning about different kinds of oneness in devotional service. In text 63, we heard about Bhava Dvaita, learning that the cause and the effect are the same, like Krishna and Krishna's energy are the same. They're different. Simultaneously one and different, but you know, Krishna's energy is in one sense one with Krishna. So if we understand everything is Krishna's energy, we will try to use everything in Krishna's service. And so in that way, there's no duality. And then in text 64, yesterday, there was the concept of Kriya Dvaita, oneness of activity, and in that, in the purport, you know, Srila Prabhupada says there is no difference between chanting for Krishna consciousness and working for Krishna consciousness. But he goes on to say, on the transcendental platform they are one, but we must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness. We should not manufacture our own oneness. So in the name of saying, well, working for Krishna and chanting for Krishna are the same, you can't just reject chanting for Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada said, you know, we should chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra each day. So in the name of working for Krishna, we can't decide, well, I'm not going to chant rounds. So there's another verse in the Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 22. It's a very famous verse where it's stated that the perfection of Vedic sacrifices, the perfection of the study of the Vedas, culminates in the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's glorified with choice verses. So in his purport there, Srila Prabhupada says, speaking about knowledge, that people in this world are attracted to all kinds of knowledge, including philosophical knowledge and scientific knowledge. He said all of these things are meant to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So in that purport, he says, a scientist should use scientific knowledge to prove the existence and superiority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A philosopher should use philosophy in order to establish, the greatness and existence of the Lord. And similarly, he said, all branches of knowledge, art, history, all the different branches of knowledge can and should be used in the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And in his final sentence to that purport, he said, scientific knowledge engaged in the establishing the existence of God, glorifying God, is factually Hari Kirtan. So, Srila Prabhupada established, Bhaktivedanta Institute for that purpose, because he wanted, his scientifically trained devotees to use their scientific and academic knowledge in the service of the Lord for the benefit of society. And he actually said that is also factually Hari Kirtan. Sadaputta Prabhu, Dr. Richard Thompson, was one of the founding members of Bhaktivedanta Institute, and he was telling me about one occasion. They were in, the Bhaktivedanta Institute members were in Vrindavan, where they were holding their first scientific conference called Life Comes from Life. You know, the title of that conference was suggested by Prabhupada himself. So, you know, the devotees, scientific devotees, were there in their suits and ties every day at the science conference. And at that time, you know, it was 1977. It was the last year of Srila Prabhupada's life, and he was basically staying in his room in Vrindavan. But each day after the conference, he would call the devotee scientist in, and he would ask them, you know, so what do the scientists say? They would say, you know, oh, they say, you know, life comes from chemicals. And then Prabhupada would ask him, what did you say? We say, no, life comes only from life. And they would talk about chemicals and molecules and all these things. So Srila Prabhupada's secretary at the time was wondering, well, maybe this is a little bit too much for Srila Prabhupada. And he said, Prabhupada, should we have kirtan now? And Prabhupada, according to Sadaputta Prabhu, told this devotee, you don't know what kirtan is. This is also kirtan. So, but, of course, the devotees, they still chant Hare Krishna. But, you know, the point is, as Srila Prabhupada said in that purport to 1.5.22, scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord is factually Hare Kirtan. Of course, we also chant Hare Krishna. So, in today's verse, we're learning about Dravya Dvaita, oneness of interest. And it's very difficult for people in this modern age to have oneness of interest. In the verse it says, when the ultimate goal and interest of oneself, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, and all other embodied living entities is one, this is called Dravya Dvaita. So we see even in Krishna consciousness, if we're not, you know, completely pure, then there's not, you know, this complete oneness of interest between, you know, husband and wife and children and family members and associates and things of that sort. But in materialistic society, it's that much worse because people are being told that they're just machines made of matter in competition with each other for survival. You know, that's basically what's being presented in, by modern science. Like there's one famous English scientist, Richard Dawkins, who famously said, we are survival machines, robot vehicles blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. Well, this is what modern science is saying. We're just machines made of molecules in competition with each other for survival, just trying to selfishly act and ultimately just pass on our genes. And, you know, that's the goal of life. You know, according to this. So, because, you know, it's our concept of self that gives us our values, our goals, our objectives in life. So, if on the one hand, we have the idea, aham brahmasmi, I am a spirit soul, Mamaivamso jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. Not only am I a spirit soul, I'm part of the supreme soul, Krishna. And all other spirit souls are also part of that same spiritual whole. And on that platform, there can be oneness because we realize we're all equal. It's no use dividing ourselves into competing groups based on superficial designations of race, nationality, class, gender, and so on and so forth. On the spiritual platform, there can be complete oneness of purpose, of interest, which is being described here. It's called Dravya Dvaita. So that having that depends on having a proper understanding of one's identity. You know, for example, if I think I'm an American man, then I behave like that, if that's my sense of identity. If I have some other sense of identity, I behave in a different way. And then I identify, you know, my friends, my enemies. I act for the interests of myself and my group, and others act for the interest of their. And that way, there can never, as long as that selfishness is there, thinking in terms of I and mine, for one's own selfish purposes, there can never be complete oneness of purpose within the family, within the nation, within the world at large. And we see there's so many conflicts going on in all levels of human society between individuals, classes, races, genders, religions even. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada would often say, you know, doesn't make any difference. You're black, white, brown, yellow. You're a spirit soul. You can become a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. Doesn't matter what your nationality is. You can become a member of the Krishna consciousness movement. So that oneness can be there if we understand who we really are, what our source is. Now, if we don't understand who we really are and where we are, then you know, if you see a person, sometimes you see people out in the street like that. You know, they're just walking around, babbling aimlessly. And, you know, you walk over to the other side of the street because you don't know what such a person is going to do. So, similarly, even people who look very sophisticated and cultured are walking around the street with a completely wrong conception of who they are and where they are. And therefore, they're creating lots of problems for themselves and others. So one of the purposes of the Krishna consciousness movement is to give people a proper conception of who they really are, where we really are, and where we should be going. If they don't have that, then their life is not going to be very successful. Na te vidu svartikatim hi Vishnu. Said that everyone should know that the ultimate goal of life is pleasing Vishnu. And in one sense, we are also part of Vishnu. Mamaivam so jiva loke. Krishna says, the jivas, the conscious selves, they are part of me. So we have some organic connection with Krishna, just like the parts of the body have some organic connection with the body. So therefore, if you know, the hand provides food to the stomach, the hand automatically benefits. So if Krishna's parts and parcels direct their energies and consciousness towards him, they automatically get the benefit. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj describes this as the mystery of devotional service. You know, how the gopis could be sacrificing everything for Krishna, and yet they feel ever-increasing happiness and bliss. It goes against the way that most people normally think, that if you give everything away, then you're left with nothing, and you're unhappy and miserable. But actually, by giving everything, one's thoughts, words, and deeds to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one experiences that inner satisfaction and peace within oneself that everybody is really looking for. The biggest kind of unhappiness that a person feels is, you know, this unhappiness within when they feel that they are not acting up to their full potential, that they're being obstructed or blocked, or that they're failing, or that they're not rising to their own expectations. So that is never going to end until they understand who they really are and in whose interest they should be acting. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we all have to find ourselves. We have to find our place in Krishna's movement. Means establishing oneself in relationship to Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. So we have to establish a connection with Krishna's representatives. There's Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, Vartma Pradarshika Guru, so initiating spiritual master, instructing spiritual master. And we have to establish ourselves in relationship to Krishna. We can't do it directly. Krishna set up a system that you have to approach him through his representatives. So that's the first thing we have to do. We have to decide how we're going to situate ourselves in relationship to Krishna. Are we going to really connect ourselves, or are we going to remain a little bit apart? Those are decisions everyone has to make. And then if you've decided to connect yourself directly with the Krishna consciousness movement by connecting oneself with Krishna's representatives, then one has to find one's service, what service one is going to perform for the pleasure of Krishna within the Krishna consciousness movement in the association of devotees. That can be a struggle finding out what that is. And then one also has to situate oneself in one's personal life. You know, like there's varna and there's ashrama. You know, varna means your occupation, your duty, your service, you know, that you'll perform for Krishna's service. And then there's situating yourself in your personal life as a brahmachari, brahmacharini, or householder, or retired vanaprastha person, or renounced sannyas person. So if one is properly motivated, then you know, one will probably associate oneself with the Krishna consciousness movement, find a service that one can perform for the pleasure of the Lord and in the association of devotees, and one can also properly situate oneself in terms of one's personal relationships, you know, in terms of being married or not married, retired or renounced or whatever. So, but everything, all of that, you know, one's self, one's wife, one's children, one's relatives, all other embodied beings should be engaged in this dravya dvaita, oneness of interest. Does anybody have any questions, comments? Archita Prabhu.
On the point of acting according to one's realization of identity, it can be confusing. It has been confusing. For instance, let's take the case of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who revealed through his writings that he knew that he was a particular Manjari, Gopi, in Krishna's Leela. But at the same time, on this plane, he's acting as husband, father, magistrate, etc. Because sometimes devotees even have this misconception that if you know who you are as a spiritual being, then you're more or less like androgynous. How can you act as a man if you know that you're a female identity in the spiritual world? But here we have a person who not only acted as husband, father, he had like 10 children. You know, like, so it seems a little incongruous how you know your spiritual identity and at the same time you're acting in a way that, you get the point? So I just wonder if you could shed some light on that.
I can't speak from personal experience, because learning one's identity can be a gradual process. The first thing to understand is, I am not this body. And that is a big step for most of us, to really appreciate that we aren't this body. You know, aham brahmasmi, I'm the spirit soul within the body. Dehinosmi yata dehe. And then the further step of realization is jivaras rupahoi krishnara nityadas, to understand that as a spirit soul, my nature is to serve Krishna. And I am still identifying to some extent with the material mind and body, so my business is to engage my mind, body, words, possessions, everything in Krishna's service. And then if one becomes very advanced, one goes through different stages in which one's eternal swarupa, original spiritual form, and may be revealed to one. You gave the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. However, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, and in other works, Sanatana Goswami says, that even if one achieves such a high level of realization, one still behaves according to one's varna and ashrama as long as one has the material body. So one can, you know, these great souls, they can be simultaneously aware of their liberated position and still conduct their bodily affairs. Or sometimes it's stated in the Bhagavatam that goes on automatically under Krishna's direction. So, but either way, either they're aware of it and they're functioning on two levels, or Krishna, they're just absorbed in their eternal rasa with Krishna and everything else is being done automatically. Yes, Archie.
Thank you. Very nice answer, Prabhu. Because that misconception came to a head right here in New Dwarka when Prabhupada was still on the planet. Where some devotees wanted to point themselves towards this Gopi Bhava. They wanted to discover their identities as gopis, and they actually went to the point of actually starting to dress like gopis, even though they were men. So it could be really confusing to somebody. Thank you for a nice, clear answer. One other thing I wanted to discuss, if we have time, is about this oneness of interest. We see in society in general that people become extremely divided into camps over one issue, like, you know, let's say the abortion issue. You're pro-life or you're pro-choice or whatever, and then they'll just fight forever on that one point. And how to avoid that in our society, because we see vestiges of that in our own society where people fight over, like, the books. You know, how can you, you know, read the current books when, you know, just go back to the pre-78 books and they'll just fight on that one point? Or so how to avoid such, you know, extremism within the society in terms of rallying around just one point or one issue?
Well, we see even in material society, you know, sometimes there can be competition to achieve some higher goal where they, you know, like in a sporting event, you know, a tennis match or some sporting event, you know, they may be, you know, competing with each other to win, but, you know, when the match is over, then, you know, they shake hands, they're part of the same profession, they can be friends. And in a society, even over, you know, say like a question like abortion, I mean, just to use the material example, if they would think we're American citizens, we're part of this country, right now the Supreme Court has decided this, but, you know, we can always try in the future to change it. But they see themselves as part of the same society, operating according to the laws of that society. So I think similarly in ISKCON, if we see ourselves as part of the same society set up by, you know, Srila Prabhupada, there can be discussion of differences of opinion, but Srila Prabhupada has set up a system for resolving differences of opinion and making policy. And if a person has that higher sense that I am a member of the society set up by Srila Prabhupada, and this is the decision right now, I'll go along with it. But there is always the right of appeal to try to change a policy. So if you have that higher sense of identity that I'm part of a society that is functioning according to certain principles and laws, and there are systems for resolving differences of opinion or letting them persist or whatever, and you go along with that, then even though there may be those differences of opinion, you still consider yourself part of the same society. That's how I would look at it. Yes. This will be the last one.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. I was just wondering if you could go into, if you could explain a little bit about how we can, you know, if we're even really, I guess, supposed to coordinate with, you know, for instance, like other religions or something. You know, maybe, you know, are they able to be part of ISKCON, you know, in the same sense if they don't necessarily follow the same practices? Or, you know, just kind of being part of the society as a whole in general?
Well, the Srila Prabhupada gave the example that we should recognize gold wherever we see it. In other words, gold being love of Godhead. So if we see that someone is trying in their way to love God in a non-envious way, then, you know, we can relate to that. In other words, you know, Srila Prabhupada, in his basic approach, his public approach, he recognized, Christ as a representative of God, Muhammad as a representative of God. So he recognized. Now, gold may be 14 karat gold or 8 karat gold or what's the highest level? 32 karat? So, 24 karat. So there can be recognition that somehow or other in the Krishna consciousness movement we've come in contact with something that is providing unalloyed love of God. So, but we see, you know, here in our temple, Sura Prabhu is a member of the Interfaith Council. So, as a representative of the Krishna consciousness movement, he's relating to representatives of other religions in the Los Angeles area and, you know, similarly around the world. You know, devotees, they are participating in activities like that. But not that it's all one. Absolutely. You know, we still make distinctions. We try to recognize gold wherever we see it, but we recognize there's 8 karat gold, 16 karat gold, 24 karat gold. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.